Welcome to Luminaries, the show that features the world's foremost color experts and pioneers. I'm your host, Elaine Austin Sharp, and today we will discuss color and imagery for children with Dr. Charlotte Resnick, the author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Stay tuned. For over 20 years, child psychologist Dr. Charlotte Resnick has pioneered therapeutic interventions with a wide spectrum of children. Responding with unerring intuition to children's diverse needs, Dr. Resnick is best known for creating her program, Imagery for Kids, Breakthrough for Learning, Creativity, and Empowerment. According to Jack Canfield, the co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, Dr. Resnick offers a revolutionary approach for parents to help their children handle fears, worries, and self-doubt. Today, Dr. Resnick maintains a private practice in Los Angeles, and we have her on the line now. Welcome to Luminaries, Dr. Resnick.
Oh, I'm so happy to be speaking with you today. Thank you.
You have created an empowering program for children that relies on imagery. Can you tell us what is imagery and how does it work?
Well, I'm helping children tap into their imagination because the imagination has everything. And the idea is with a little bit of guidance and kind of putting some simple tools together, kids can access their own wisdom and come up with answers and responses and just ways to handle the challenges they face. The whole idea of tapping into the imagination is really powerful because you want to bypass that just logical mind and you want to go to the intuitive mind where pictures are formed and get lots of different responses than just using logic. And I find that with these different tools, kids could really just come up with amazing responses.
Would you say that children are more stressed out today than ever before?
You know, they are. There was recently a survey by the American Psychological Association, and it's the first time that they actually asked kids, they asked tweens and teenagers, are you feeling more stressed this year than last year? And everyone was saying yes. It was like a 73% increase in the stress. And the funny thing is, well, not really that funny, but the parents aren't aware of it, how their kids are really under stress and they're feeling more stressed than before. So it's good to be aware of that because then you could do something about it.
How can we help our kids make sense of disasters like in Haiti and September 11?
That's a good question. Make sense of it. Maybe come to accept it in a way. I mean, it's part of life. I see life as a series of learning, not just, we don't learn just in school, but just we get all these life lessons. And maybe they can't do anything in the moment or the closer they are to a disaster, they feel it more acutely, but they can help in some way. And so we see all over the country people, kids made lemonade stands, they collected money from their neighbors, and they used it to donate to help people in Haiti or wherever there's a disaster. And when it was Katrina, they're really stepping up and their hearts are opening.
What are some effective ways children can learn to deal with grief?
You know, I'd like to address the whole idea of how I help the kids kind of tune in and help themselves. And the whole idea is to use some simple tools. So they address grief, they address disaster, everything. But there are 9 tools that I put together. And the first one is basically breathing deeply to connect to the wisdom. And I call it the balloon breath because it's an easy visual. You can imagine that there's a balloon about 2 to 3 inches below your belly button. And when you breathe in slowly, the balloon gets larger. And when you breathe out slowly, it flattens again. And it's basically a meditation breath. And the idea of breathing down 2 to 3 inches below your belly button is because that's the center of your body. So when we want kids to tap into that imagination, to get into their intuition, we want to help them from a centered place. So you don't just hop into dealing with grief. You want to have the tools to do it in a responsible way, in a good way, in a helpful way for yourself. And the first step, one boy said it was the way in, is doing that kind of balloon breathing. And once you get there, I'll have the kids create a special place that's safe, like a safe sanctuary. I call it discovering a special place. And the reason I do that is because, one, it's a respite from the stress of days anyway, but it's also a place to do the inner work, to get in touch with that wise part, and to call in helpers. So the helpers I'll have the kids bring in are animal friends or wizards or wise people, and the idea is you're calling in an aspect of yourself. The kids are calling in an aspect of themselves that have information for them. For example, one child was having a really hard time sleeping, and she called in an animal friend to help her, and this big white dragon came, Valcor, that wrapped himself around her bed to protect her. Now, if I had just said to her, well, you know, how could you just sleep better? She would say, I don't know. But when she tapped into her imagination, that's when responses came. And in fact, she was like 11 years old, and you might say, well, doesn't she know it's from her imagination? It's not really real. But she said, you know, my fears about sleeping are from my imagination. So I have to go into the imagination realm to heal it, to fix it. And that's the whole idea. You're going, it's almost like going into another dimension, into your imagination. And so when you're starting to use these tools, then you could deal with whatever faces you, like grief. Now, grief comes up a lot. I see it in kids who, first thing happens is they lose animals. They're dear animals that they've known throughout their whole life, a cat or a dog, for example. They will lose it, and their grief reaction is very strong. And one girl I had, she had a sweet golden retriever dog that had died that she had known all her life, that she dressed up and put bandanas alike around his neck, and she was really devastated and was crying and crying and crying. And I asked her what she believes happens when someone dies, when her dog dies, and she believed her dog went to doggy heaven. And so she even, you know, asked her to picture it and go into her imagination. And she drew this amazing picture. It was really cute. It had, like, no cats allowed, and there was a refrigerator where dogs could eat whatever they want, and a special scratching post for them. And the idea is, for her, she felt that her dog was in a happier place, and she felt she could visit him. So she could visit him in her imagination and feel connected, or she could imagine him coming down and playing with her. And so because of her belief, she was able to soothe herself and feel better about things. And sometimes kids lose their parents or their grandparents. Of course, that can be very devastating. Or I'm thinking about a little girl whose mom died of cancer and had lost all her hair. And when the girl was brought to me, she had pulled out all her hair. And she used her imagination. I'm thinking she came in one day with a bracelet. And they had all these little angels on it. So I use whatever's around. And so because I knew what her spiritual views were, and she believed in angels, we had her speak in her imagination to each of those angels on the bracelet to give her some comfort and give her gifts to help her through the process. So you see, you could really tap into kids' imaginations to help them with whatever. I mean, I mentioned earlier that animal friends could help, like the girl with sleeping. And then I'll often bring in a wizard, and the wizard's like a master teacher. And the wizard could help in ways that maybe an animal friend who's more of a protector can't. And so we want to really tap into these possibilities that will all make a difference. And then I mentioned even gifts. Well, the helpers give you gifts, and gifts could be a real imaginary gift, or it could be something they show you or something they tell you, as well as an actual little gift to help you. And so you really want to make the most of your child's imagination. And it's easy to do because it's fun. And, you know, this show is so big on color. Color is one of my tools because color can be so powerful. I had one girl that was having a terrible stomach ache, and we asked what color could help. And she imagined this swirling rainbow, and breathing that swirling rainbow in with all the beautiful colors just soothed her tummy ache.
Have you found that there is one particular color that is most effective for healing?
You know, everyone is very different. So I trust that the kids know what colors work for them. We know, say, white has all the colors in it. So if a child can't think of a color, I might suggest white, and I start some of the guided meditations, guided journeys with the color white, because that has all the colors, all the frequencies. But I trust what works for the kid, because one child might say green is really healing for her. But another boy might say, no, blue is, or black is, in fact. So I just trust that whatever they need, they come up with. Like one boy, his healing pond was a blood pond. Well, that's because he was getting blood transfusions, and the blood was healing him. And so for him, that was very healing. So red for him was very powerful. So I go with the kid's intuition.
You know, I love your idea of using a rainbow for protection. How does that work?
Well, I'll often start with a rainbow or a color from the inside. Sometimes even if, say, you have a speck of gold light or white light, and then you breathe it out so it grows larger and larger, and maybe it's love. I'm describing it as love or comfort. And then you send it out through your whole body when it fills up. And then you imagine it going past your physical body, 6 inches, 1 foot, 2 feet, even up to 3 feet. And then you, it's sort of like you're in an egg of protection. And then you seal it with another color, whatever you like. And the idea is that you're safe inside, and anything bad bounces off, and only good comes through. So it develops the confidence in the kids. They feel better. And then they could do this every day before they go outside or wherever they feel they're walking into a situation they're not that comfortable with.
Now, what do you do if a child has problems actually visualizing color?
I think that's a good question because everyone imagines or visualizes differently. Some people don't see pictures. They might feel something or they might just think it. Or I had one dad say he doesn't imagine, he hears music. So when he thinks of love, he hears a passionate opera. Or when he thinks of anger, it's like cymbals clashing. So I go with whatever means something to the child. You don't have to actually see it, because mostly if they close their eyes, they're seeing black. But they might just be thinking about it, and that's enough. Or they just have a sense of it, and that's enough.
These days we hear a lot about bullying. What kinds of imagery can a child use to conquer this particular type of fear?
Oh, you know, it's true. Kids feel really intimidated. Sometimes when kids are a little shy, I'm thinking about a little girl who wouldn't speak up when someone was bullying her. And she actually imagined her wizard giving her a gift of a speak-up necklace. So that helped her speak up and say, hey, leave me alone. This isn't okay. So you want to give the kids the skills to speak up and protect themselves. Because bullies really prey on vulnerable kids. And so that's an easy fix. You want to have the kids develop confidence and bravery. I might have them imagine where in their body they keep their brave feelings. Where are their scared feelings? Maybe they're scared of the bully. And what color are they? And so one girl had her scared feelings were black and her brave feelings were blue. And then so what we did was we had her breathe in the brave blue into the scared black. And what happens is it kind of lets the fear kind of get smaller and smaller. And then we added confidence, because she needed confidence to speak up to the bully. And her confidence was in her heart, and it was pink, and she breathed that right through and increased her confidence throughout her body with the color and increased her bravery. And that really, I like using like two positives against one negative as, you know, as like an anecdote, because then you have the powerful punch there. You have like the 1-2 punch. Okay, well, bring in bravery and confidence. And that helped her overcome her fear to tell that bully to leave her alone. I work with kids who are bullies themselves. And I had one guy kind of imagine watching himself on a video screen. And he imagined he saw himself bullying another kid. And I asked him, well, how would he like that video screen to look? You know, it's like the computer of the mind. And so he changed that picture. And he was able to see himself being nice to someone. And watching himself on that screen helped him shift his viewpoint and maybe change his behavior a little bit.
So would you say that children who are bullies, that stems from anger?
It could stem from a lot of things. It could stem from not feeling very good about themselves and you're trying to bring someone else down so that they could feel as bad as you. It could stem from disappointment that you're not getting attention at home and you're mad, you know, it becomes anger because anger is often a secondary emotion covering up disappointment, hurt, fear, and so the anger kind of rears its ugly head and you take it out on a more vulnerable person. There are many places bullying could come from. Could be the role model that you see at home. Maybe a parent or an older brother or sister is bullying you and you do that to the next lower down person.
What can we do to help our children control their anger, and should they even try to control their anger? And is there a way to release this in a positive way?
You know, I do believe there is a way to release anger in a positive way, and I do believe anger does serve a purpose. So you want to be more in control of the anger rather than the anger being in control of you. The other day a girl said to me that she couldn't think when she was angry, and that's true because when we're angry, our frontal lobe shuts down, the place where our logical thinking is, and we just have that primitive brain that's enraged. So, and there's also some studies that show, well, acting out anger doesn't really help. It increases anger instead of dissipating it. So you want to maybe understand where it's coming from. I mean, I had one girl who was so angry, she had this big red bull living in her knee. And she said that red bull was to protect her from the red bull and other people. So she felt justified in being angry because other people got angry at her. But it was getting her into trouble. So what she did was she imagined, we asked what could help, and she imagined this white filter in her neck that would filter the red bull so that when her words came out, they didn't sound so mean. And then what happened is she got in touch with her heart, which had a love potion in it. And so she sprinkled some of the love potion on her anger, on the red bull, and it turned from this ugly red bull with pointed ears, kind of devil-looking, to this soft, blue, cuddly little, sleeping little creature. So she found that by sending love to the anger, it would put it to sleep, so it wouldn't bother her. Or another little boy who was really, really also angry about his parents' divorce, about his younger sister getting attention, and his anger was in his belly, and it was red. It was like fire hot. And I asked him where he kept his calm feelings, and they were in his shoulders, and they were kind of blue. And so I had him breathe in that blue calmness to the anger, and it kind of covered it over, you know, it kind of hit it a little bit. But then we also look for his love, and his love was in his heart, and it was white. And when he breathed in white love to his anger, that had a different response. It kind of dissipated the anger. It's like the anger exploded, and it just dissipated. So for him, love was much stronger than calmness. And another little boy, a really young kid, like a 4 or 5-year-old little boy, because it's amazing. These tools could work for very young kids and for very old kids, including us grown-ups that have little kids inside. Well, his anger was like a bomb, and his happiness and his love was in his heart. And he said when he sent love to his anger, it was like a love bomb, and it made the anger explode, but in a good way. So kids are so creative, I find everyone comes up with a different story to help them. Sometimes you might want to have a conversation with the anger, and sometimes you don't need to.
You mentioned before that you have 9 powerful healing tools for children. Can you list what they all are?
Sure. We mentioned the balloon breath, which is that breathing to help you calm down and connect. The second one was to find a special place, which we talked about. So you want to have a safe sanctuary to do your inner work. And then we have the inner guides, which were the animal friend, which is kind of a wise protector and could comfort and help many, many ways. The girl who had Valcor, the dragon around her, or I have another boy who has history of cancer, and he has a lot of animal friends kind of eating away the bad guys, the cancer cells. And then another protector, another wise being, is a wizard with Harry Potter. Everyone's into wizards. So the wizard's like a master teacher. I have general all-purpose wizards that do everything, and then some kids have specific wizards, like a spelling wizard or a math wizard to help wash out their brain so they could learn better. Or one girl had a little self-esteem wizard to help her feel better about herself. And then these guides give you gifts. Now, I also want to say about the wizard, when you get teenagers, if they're not into wizards or even older, they might have a wise person speak to them. So it doesn't have to be a wizard, but it's the idea of a master teacher in some sort of human form. And then the gifts they give, like the gift of the love potion, or someone got a sleep potion from her animal friend. Everyone gets a different gift depending on what he needs. I even made in the book and on a CD an imagery for parents to receive the gift of appreciation, which they dearly need. And then we switch over to something else that I feel is very important in these tools, and that's teaching kids to trust and check in with the wisdom of their heart and of their belly, their gut feelings. And it's been around for a long time, the whole idea of listening to your heart. And there's some research showing that people that receive hearts from other people, donor hearts, that they often crave something that the person who gave them their heart, like maybe some food or maybe some activity. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough. So people are taking notice and thinking, there might be some kind of cellular memory transfer. So that heart has its own wisdom. And then the belly, there are cells in the intestine that are similar to some cells in the brain. So we have another brain. We have a belly brain. So I really like the idea of not just using our mind, but connecting to the wisdom and the belly brain and the heart brain and connecting it all together. You get a much richer response. And so I'll teach kids to kind of do a quick check-in, maybe in the morning, maybe at night. What's your heart message for today? What does your heart want to tell you? What does your belly want to tell you? I even had a 3-year-old say his belly told him to share with the kids at preschool. And we might say, gosh, his mom probably told him, or his dad, or his teacher. And that's true. Yet he was showing he was really integrating this thought, and it was now his own, which is such a beautiful thing. And then we have 3 more tools. One, because we got the heart and the belly, but I also feel that there's so much wisdom in every other part of the body. So I kind of call it talking to toes and other body parts. And that's a 2-pronged approach, because it's you have feelings in different parts of your body, and you might have pain in different parts of your body. So you get a lot of information on 2 different levels. It could be physical or it could be emotional that you can learn about. Like the girl who had her stomach ache, then she used that color for healing. Or the girl I just talked about and the boy with the anger and where he keeps it. And I'll have the kids describe it either in a shape or a character or a color, and it makes it more alive. In fact, sometimes for the younger ones, I'll have them lie down on the big sheet of paper, butcher block paper, and I'll trace the outline of their body. And then we'll fill in their own kind of self-portrait, but with their feelings. Where do they keep their anger? Where's their happy feelings? Where's the sadness? Where's their scared feelings? So they start developing a vocabulary to talk about their feelings and get in touch with where they are. Because there's so much, kids are in pain too. You know, one girl gets headaches, stomach aches, back aches, all kinds of pain. So you want them to be in touch with the knowledge that's inside. And then, of course, the big color for healing. I really find that color can be so powerful for kids, whether it's, as I described, using the love and the calmness to dissipate the anger, or whether it's helping heal physical pain, stomach aches, headaches. In fact, when I work with headaches, it's like a nice little 3-question item. It's what color is the headache, what shape is the headache, and how heavy it is. And then we'll do the balloon breath for 4 or 5 times, and then we'll repeat those questions. And over 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, what I noticed is that the shape often changes from red or black and sharp and heavy to lighter and rounder and lighter and lighter, and then we could let it go. We could either breathe it out or we could have a conversation to see what else needs to be said. And then the final tool, which I really just started talking about in the last few years, but I've always been aware of it, is helping kids tap into energy and to be aware of the energy around them. And I do this in a simple way. If you rub your hands together really quickly, and then you start to let them go very slowly, then you start to feel something between your hands. And I'll show the kids how that's what energy feels like. And then they can make it wide and smaller, sort of what people do with Tai Chi and Qigong. And the whole idea of energy, I mean, in quantum physics, we know that nothing is solid. So it's all molecules either very closely together or far apart. Even though, gosh, seems to me like my table in front of me is solid, it's really not. And so when you have the idea that everything is floating around molecules, you realize we're all connected and there's energy between us. So I want to help the kids tap into that and use it for their benefit.
Terrific. Dr. Resnick, thank you so much for joining us today. Listeners, if you would like to know more about Dr. Charlotte Resnick and her marvelous work with children, please visit her website at www.imageryforkids.com. Thank you for joining Luminaries, and until next time, change your colors and you change your world.
You have been listening to Luminaries with your host, Elaine Austin Sharp. For more information about my color therapy certification courses, traveling workshops, color consultations, and International Color Therapy Club, please visit my website at www.colortherapyschool.com.